T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Already been a wild first half of the show. It's going to be a wild second half, too. At the beginning, if you weren't here at 6 a.m. when we went on the air, we said, if there's a day you want to listen to all 4 hours of the morning show, today is it. Whew, so much going on. We will get back into the NFL draft ahead of the NFL draft coverage tomorrow night, round one of the NFL draft. Our coverage begins with Dukes and Bell from 2 to 7 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Our coverage is already going on, but I'm just talking about our deep dive into the NFL draft. 2 to 7 with Dukes and Bell, and then 7 o'clock, first round tomorrow night, Mike Conley, Randy Mack, Wes Durham, and Dave Archer live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. All of the picks in the first round from 7 p.m. until it ends. If you're in your car tomorrow night, you want to be locked into 92 on the game. Well, you never want to not be locked into 92 on the game.com.
Yeah, right? and I just want to be clear. Because we're getting some tweets, from some individuals, that we are not saying that Georgia is any kind of trouble. We've made that clear. And John Freakey has made it clear that the story with UGA firing some of their staff members is not linked to the story we were talking about Marty Blaze. We made that very clear.
Yeah, we made that clear on 100 times.
We just pointed out that it's just a little weird. That's all. So, nobody get all up in their feelings. And, it's cool. We're just, speculating what we do as radio hosts.
And we don't know why yet this recruiting coordinator was fired at Georgia, or the other assistant was suspended without pay. Well, we said it 100 times. Again, we're not linking the two. Again, they're separate stories out here. It's just that they both happen to be major college stories, and we were doing a college football.
And we like to look at him and go, Now we don't think Georgia's done anything nefarious. And we've made that clear like 1,000 times. This would be 1,001.
Actually, everybody's done something nefarious. It's just a level of whether you get caught.
Yeah.
Word.
Nefarious.
We will talk more about the ongoing story about the potential scandals that are rocking college football and college basketball. And again, we're just going to be following on these stories. I know that we had Alabama fans were all in their feelings. Again, all we had is Marty Blazer just happened to say the name Alabama, and it just so happens
dun,
that it
dun,
was.
Dun.
Yeah, exactly. That's why when you say that name, everybody's ears perk up, right?
And then not only that, today some more names are going to come out. You best believe there's going to be some college football programs today that are going to be sitting around real nervous. They're going to be looking at that testimony. What is this fool about to say now? Because you know what the sad part about it is, John? Uh-huh. Whether it's true or not, if you throw a college football name out there, then people are going to take it and
guilty
they're going to run with
until
it.
Until proven innocent.
That's the thing about it. And that's why, you sit here, and as a college football fan, you're like sitting back, and you're hoping the sweet little baby Jesus that they do not mention your program. And now you're trying to go back in the history of your program and wonder if there has been something that has happened. Now, I know for a fact that some of the guys that I've played with have stories about those schools that we're talking about in question. Some of not the schools that's on the list. I'm just saying the big major schools in question that have told me to a man that they got paid by their university. I know this for a fact. I've been told this. But that's not my story to tell. So if there's a person out there that follows a football program and you feel like your program is squeaky clean, guess what? Probably not, especially the major programs. When you talk about the major stars and the major players at your school. So if you're on that high horse and think that your program is above reproach right now, you probably need to get off of that one.
I know for a fact that in my career and in my life, I have violated multiple NCAA rules. I know that for a fact. Because I bought a guy a hamburger somewhere or a T-shirt or something, and which I did.
Yeah, that piece of money,
I didn't steal any money. Oh my God, I never did. I stole Slim Jims, but I never stole any money.
There's probably not a person on this planet who hasn't stole something.
I stole Slim Jims
in their lifetime.
Okay,
and I'm pretty sure everybody wants to move the line as far as what they consider stealing. Uh-huh. But you've taken something that didn't belong to you.
Can we get back to the Braves for a second?
Oh, my bad. I'm on a tangent. Okay. I'm on a tangent.
Brian Jordan says the Braves are lost at sea. 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line is 404-741-0929 if you want to text in. We're also running a poll on our website right now. On our Twitter, asking if you agree with Brian Jordan. We were told the Midday Show yesterday the Braves are lost at sea. Yes, they are lost. No, they are not. Maybe need to make some moves and too early to tell. And really what he's talking about is, and Brian, to his, you know, he did say, look, it's early. When I say lost at sea, I'm just saying that, you know, I think they can right this ship. But he's not wrong. That's the point here. They are lost at sea when it comes to this pitching. Vizcaino is injured and out for the year. We don't have a closer that we can trust on. We don't have a middle reliever. Our starters are starting to, you know, walk so many guys. They're being bounced down. Look at the rotation at Gwinnett. The rotation at Gwinnett is Mike Foltynewicz is going to start for the big club coming up on Saturday. They've made that announcement. But as of a couple of days ago, the rotation was Mike Foltynewicz, and that was a rehab thing. Sean Newcomb, Colby Allard, Kyle Wright, Bryce Wilson. I mean, it was the Atlanta Braves pitching staff was in Gwinnett. They were bouncing them up and down so much, ping-ponging them up and down under new pitching coach Rick Kranitz. It has not worked yet. The amount of walks, there were 9 more walks last night. And the usual suspects, Jesse Biddle, Chad Sabatka, and even Kevin Gausman got a case of the walks last night. 9 walks last night. And this is just, the walking is out of control, Hugh.
Yeah, and that's what really hurt you. You look at that game last night against Cincinnati, and, you know, it was a back-and-forth affair for a little while. And that's what really hurt you. When you look at it on the grand scale, that you're walking people can't do that, and they've done that a lot. You look at the game, I think it was in the Arizona Diamondbacks, the second game had a little bit of the same thing going on. So it's like you can't do that. You have to be more aggressive in your pitch selection. You can't be afraid to throw the ball across the plate.
Now, the Atlanta Braves have issued 108 walks this year. That is the most in the major leagues. And what Brian Jordan's talking about is that, you know, we have unidentified roles here. We haven't settled. The team hasn't settled down in. Now, if the team does settle down in at some point, they're going to be very dangerous. We see that offensively. They're still a tremendously good team defensively. I still get, you know, Ender had a couple of hits last night, but I'm not certain, Hugh, at this point, if they've settled into what their alignment's going to be in terms of the outfield. They have the infield set. We understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But the outfield is still kind of in flux, and certainly the pitching staff is in flux. We've got Bryce Wilson coming back to be a long reliever. Who's going to be in the starting rotation? Who's going to be your closer? Brian Jordan's right. They are lost at sea because we're 22 games in, and even though we're a game and a half out, we're looking at a team that – you tell me the rotation. You tell me
– Max Fried.
Okay.
And a bunch of guys.
You know,
Julio Teheran,
Kevin Gausman at the moment,
and insert pitcher potential starter here.
Right,
that's basically what it is.
And Mike Soroka, okay, I'll buy you on Mike Soroka for the time being. But this, you know, we started with Kyle Wright because of injuries and whatnot. Now we got Mike Foltynewicz coming back in. This team hasn't settled into any sort of pitching groove, and the middle relief and the closing situation are totally not acceptable.
I will say this though: if there's one bright spot as far as the pitching staff is concerned right now, it has to be Max Fried and his mentality. But outside of that, like, I can not – with him being on the mound and the way that he's pitching right now, John, forget, I kind of see where people I see better the frustrations of the Braves fans when they talk about the pitching staff. It's because with Max Fried on the mound, you feel confident about him. Even when he's in a jam, you feel confident that he has the ability and he has the mental – capability to get himself out of a sticky situation, because he's done it. He's done it a couple times so far this season. I think that's what people need to see, more of that when it comes to the pitching staff of the Atlanta Braves. You don't really see that a whole lot.
If Soroka can show us again that he has overcome his injury situation like he did in his first outing and what he gave it last year, and he get along with Max Fried, they could be the two young guys that have really popped and be solid starters for this team. And there are a lot of ifs. Notice how many ifs. If Foltynewicz can come back and solidify one of the starting spots, and if Gausman can continue to do what he's doing, he had a bit of a rough time last night, but be a solid starter, and if Julio Teheran doesn't kill you by going Dow Jones and all over the place, then your starting rotation may be able to settle down. That's still a lot of ifs in your starting rotation, and I don't have to explain to you how many ifs there are in middle relief and closer, because everything is an if. There is not one guy you can tell me that you can trust in middle relief or closing right now. Not one. So that's a little lost at sea 22 games in.
Yeah, and that's why when you break it down like that and you hear what Brian Jordan said, that's kind of where I feel like it is when he says lost at sea. It's not like, because I know when you hear that cut and, you know, you're just hearing it for just taking it for face value, you're looking at it like the whole team is in flux and that there's no way to, you know, no way to right the ship. I don't think that's exactly what he meant. Again, don't want to speak for Brian Jordan, going to have a chance to talk to him probably as soon as I possibly can, but that's what I get from his comments.
Well, and me too. And I think he's right, by the way, because it's just an analogy. All I'm saying is what Brian Jordan did was give a term to how I've been feeling. The lost at sea term, well, it is early, and Brian said, again, in his defense, because we're not banging on Brian, we're just saying that he gave a term to it, lost at sea. Brian said, look, it's still early. They can right the ship. We've got a lot of faith in Brian Snicker, was manager of the year last year. The team won 90 games. Rick Kranitz has a tremendous bio. He's credited with making all those young pitchers in Philadelphia something. And Kranitz, one of the reasons they've been ping-ponging people is they have a very short leash right now. They don't have time to waste. Yet at the same time, they seem to be wasting an awful lot of time on Chad Sabatka. Biddle, I get. Biddle's a frustrating guy because Biddle's one of those guys that you look at and say, man, he's got good stuff. And, you know, we just got to get him to lock in a little bit. And maybe they'll have a little bit of patience. Plus, you know, you have the benefit in addition of having, you know, a solid left-hander in the bullpen. Yeah, so Day's hurt. We don't know when he's going to be back. Fulton Evich has been hurt. Viz is out for the year. So they've had to deal with Soroka was on the DL for a while, the IL, pardon me. And so you have, you know, all these guys that have been banged up. So that's played a part of it too. And there's been really nobody you could go out and get. But again, until they settle this issue, another way to put Brian Jordan's thing, Hugh, they're a game and a half out of first place. Do you, 22 games in, do you have confidence that they're going to be there on, say, September the 23rd?
In the mix?
Yep.
I think so. I think this gets worked out. And then you think about it, John, when you look around the division, everybody has something that they're dealing with.
Yes, they are.
You know, you're talking about, I think the Phillies are dealing with their closing their middle relief situation.
Right,
they have issues. So it's not like, as long as your bats are heating up and you can get some good quality starts from your starters, you're going to be right there. I do believe that. Now, this is the kicker. Like some of the fans have pointed out, the Arizona Diamondbacks series. When you've had two games there that you should have won, I would say that you should have won, that probably is going to be the separator. That's going to be the one where we're sitting here and we're talking about it September, October, and everybody's talking about the Braves, wherever they are in the standings. The difference maker is going to be those games.
Should have won last night.
Yeah.
I mean, you had the lead, and you just can't hold it, and you can't trust this team to hold a lead. They get the lead, and you go, okay, great, they got the lead for now. I mean, that's exactly how everybody feels because that's the way it is. Should have won last night. Until you start walking, guys, like you're giving away free passes at the buffet at the casino, for crying out loud. I mean, it's just unbelievable the amount of walks that they get. And this was a problem last year, and it's really a problem this year. So they just have to find guys that'll throw strikes. You've got a great defensive team. Trust the guys behind you. You go ahead and trust the guys behind you that they're going to make plays. You have a great defensive team. Quit walking everybody. That's what's getting you into so much trouble. Now, tonight, Mike Soroka at 6:40 goes up against Tanner Roark, another really good pitching matchup. But look, the Reds have some good young pitchers. Sonny Gray's good. Tanner Roark's good. Tanner Roark's a guy that's given you problems in the past. And so, no, these are good pitchers at Cincinnati. They don't have necessarily a great batting order. Not a great team. But, you know, this is one, though, again, you have to win games on the road. And it's just, we're just going through the, because you know, this is why I am going through the dailies on this. Football is a miniseries, and baseball is a soap opera.
Yes.
And every day, some guy cheats on his wife on the soap opera, and I get mad like a little old lady darning socks and watching, going, like a little old lady darning socks, I get mad. What? You know, man, you son of a beehive. You know,
what are you talking about, John?
Just getting mad at the daily. The guy in the soap opera who's cheating on his wife.
Yeah.
Going side eye.
And you know what's funny?
Your wife's so pretty. Why are you going side eye with a nurse?
I guess that's how you have to look at it because people do get off in their emotions like they do in soap operas. I remember back in the day, the biggest story in the soap opera game was where Luke and Laura got married on General Hospital, and everybody was all up in their feels about that. That was pretty good. I mean, since you used the soap opera analogy, I just thought about that.
So, again, the ups and downs of the Braves. Yeah, I know. That's all I can say about the Braves.
But I will say this. When I heard the cuts, when I heard the comment that Brian Jordan made, I did the same thing you did. I said, huh?
All right, we have 1 minute just to remind people what Brian Jordan had to say. This was from the Midday Show yesterday.
Right now, they are lost at sea. You know, still trying to figure that direction out, you know, how to get back to land.
And he said they would. He has full faith and confidence. Right now, he's a little more confident than I am. It's not that I've jumped. I never jump off the bandwagon. Well, heck, I'm driving it, so I don't. But right now, the bandwagon is kind of meandering through every road named Peachtree, and I'm a little lost on Siri's leading me down the wrong path. You ever do that? You ever get on, like, Google Maps, turn on Siri, and you're going somewhere, and for whatever reason, they do the shortest route, and the next thing you know, you're in the middle of nowhere, and you're taking, like, little side roads to here and there, and it was like when I was going the other day to the urban farm. I'm down. Take a left here. I'm like, where am I? You got me in the middle of an industrial park. I have no clue where I'm going, because it's not always the most direct route. Right now, the Braves don't have a direct route. They're taking side trips to the racetrack and stopping, asking, where the hell am I? All right, NFL draft tomorrow night. Very latest headlines heading to the draft next.
Now back to more John and Hugh.
And you need to listen on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The countdown is in just mere hours until the opening of the 2019 NFL Draft. Nashville, Tennessee. Oh, they're getting ready in Music City. They're going to be partying tonight ahead of the draft tomorrow. Actually, now that I think about it, welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. That would be kind of fun to be there tonight. It'd be like a Wednesday night party down in the district.
If you don't have to go to work. That's the only time that is fun, when you're talking about hanging out after hours and partaking in adult beverages. Because right, I don't know about you, John, but that's a hard get up.
Yeah, you just ruined my mojo.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, shoot, I got to go to work. I got to be coherent. I can just go out and,
I know,
you know.
I have to be coherent, and that's hard enough when I'm sober.
yeah, me too.
by the way, so all of our draft coverage, and we're going to get into more draft stuff here, is brought to you this year by the fine folks at Northern Tool and Equipment. That includes, of course, our draft coverage tomorrow night of round one, which starts at 7 o'clock with Mike Conney and Randy Mack, Wes and Dave, live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Every pick of round number one, you could take advantage of huge savings. If you're a tool guy or gal, northerntool.com, and we encourage you, as always, to go to northerntool.com and all of our sponsors. And if you like the program, you like the station, you know, we want you to go check out our sponsors. It helps us, helps you too, because they give you great deals. Because you're listening to 92.9 The Game. All right, a couple of headlines here. One is that the big trade yesterday, Frank Clark, star defensive lineman of the Seattle Seahawks, traded to Kansas City in a multi-pick deal. Kansas City has to part with its first-round pick this year, a second-round pick next year, and then they swap first-round picks as well next year. But the big thing is that Frank Clark goes to Kansas City. Kansas City gives the number one pick to Seattle. Seattle, suddenly, there are two teams in this draft now, Hugh, as of right now, that have more than one pick in the first round. Oakland has three, and now Seattle gets two. They get theirs at 21. Now they get Kansas City's at 29. And so Seattle has two first-round picks. For Kansas City, with all the changes they made, no Dee Ford, no Eric Berry, they bring in Honey Badger, now they bring in Frank Clark. What does this mean for their defense?
They're basically trying to bolster the pass rush, get after the quarterback a little bit more, and you're doing it with a proven guy. You're doing a proven guy, and I think that's the biggest thing that you have to look at, John, is somebody who's been doing it for a while, somebody that Coach Reed doesn't have to groom to play the position. Just go out there and, hey, man, do what you've been doing. And it looks to me like, you know, that's going to be your mantra. Defense is what kept you from going to the Super Bowl last year. You know, your defense couldn't stop anybody. They couldn't stop anybody last year, especially in that AFC championship game, and that's what you're looking at.
You do wonder how many trades are going to take place. There are rumors this morning that are still persistent that Oakland and Arizona are talking. That's one thing. Adam Kaplan yesterday, and then we replayed it this morning, said there were 20 trades last year. We could see a flurry of trades, so that's why you stand by for all the potential news. And look at all the trades that we've had already into this first round. We mentioned Oakland has multiple picks. Seattle has multiple picks. And there are now four teams, Hugh, that don't have a first-round draft pick. Those four teams are Kansas City, which traded out of the first round, Cleveland, the Browns don't have a number one pick. They traded out of the first round as part of the Odell Beckham trade. Dallas Cowboys don't have a first-round pick, and the Winer Swampers do not have a first-round pick. So Cleveland, Kansas City, Dallas, and the don't have a first-round pick. That's four teams without a pick.
Yeah, but they're gonna still make it happen, John. You're looking at those teams that you're talking about, for the most part, playoff teams that feel like they probably got their core guys and they just need a few pieces that's going to help get them over 100. You're talking about like the Dallas Cowboys and New Orleans Saints.
I don't blame them for making the deals.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you get mad at Cleveland for not having a first-round pick when you get Odell Beckham out of the deal? I mean, that's a pretty good deal, right? So we'll see what happens with the draft trade situation, because the Falcons aren't necessarily just going to stand pat at 14. One of the big questions I think all of us who are Rise Up fans have ahead of this draft is, will the Falcons make a move? And given the pressure to win now, because teams are in different places, right? I mean, some teams are in rebuild mode. They don't like to say that, but they are. And some teams are in let's just add to mode. The Falcons are in win now mode, and we know that. Everybody understands what Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff are facing, which is why I still don't buy this whole offensive lineman thing. That's not a win now move, and you're not really drafting, at least at the top of the draft, first two or three picks in kind of a build mode. I think you're in win now mode in those first three picks to be able to get somebody to do that. And the question becomes, where does Ed Oliver fall? I've seen him as high as number three to the New York Jets. The Jets have talked about trading the third pick, but I don't want to trade up that high. The cost is too high. D-Leb went through that and said, if you want to trade up to number three with the New York Jets, you'd have to give them your first, your second, and your third round picks. That's just, Hugh, that is not a doable situation to me. I am not trading my first, second, and third round picks to get Ed Oliver. That just is not doable.
Yeah, and you know what else was said that I found kind of interesting? And again, I don't want anybody to get all up in their feelings. I'm reading between the lines. When Coach Quinn he kind of talked about the fact that there's a lot of good offensive linemen in the draft and how there was a surge of offensive linemen. You know why I find that kind of weird and fascinating at the same time? Is because for the last few years, John, we haven't really talked that much about dynamic offensive linemen coming out in the NFL draft. You know, you've had a few guys sprinkled here and there, but to have Coach Quinn said and a few other people that we've talked to throughout the weeks say that there's a resurgence in offensive linemen, it kind of makes you wonder a little bit.
Well, I could see an offensive lineman in round two or round three, but not necessarily in round one.
Yeah, but I still think it's kind of interesting when you have, Coach Quinn say, hey, man, yeah.
Then why did you spend – if that's going to be the case, why did you spend all this money on Brown, Carpenter, and Sambrelo? You paid them all like starters. I mean, you've got five guys right now that you're paying starter money to. Are you going to bench somebody that you're paying start? Because, again, you have to be able to start day one. Your first-round pick, day one starter. Are you going to bench somebody you just paid first-round money to? That seems foolish.
But if he – say, for instance, if a guard falls in your spot or somebody that could be a swingman, say at some point he plays center, that you look at and you can honestly say he is head and shoulders better than what you have. Like, remember, John – these contracts that they sign, the only thing they're guaranteed is their signing bonus.
I know.
So if you're looking at it like, say, for instance, you sign him, you gave him $2 million signing bonus, you'll take that $2 million hit.
Hugh, I'm not arguing your point. I mean, I just would be surprised if they do it. I would think that they are going to take the most impactful player they can. We only know as Falcons fans what we don't know. And I wish I could sit here as a morning show host, or that even somebody as tapped in as Wes Durham or Dave Archer could sit here and say to you, as they broadcast the draft tomorrow night from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, starting at 7, that they know exactly what the Falcons are going to do, who they have on their big board. They don't. Falcons aren't – nobody knows. The only people that know are Dan Quinn, Thomas Dimitroff, and two or three or four other people inside the Falcons who are in that locked room looking at that board and how they value people. So let's just do a little thought thing here. Let's say that – You place a value of 10. That's the highest you can go. You place a value of 10 on Quinnen Williams and Nick Bosa, for example, on the defensive side. Do you value Ed Oliver as a 9.7 and Christian Wilkins as a 9.1, or do you value Ed Oliver as a 9.2 and Christian Wilkins as a 9.1? How big is the spread between those two? That would dictate to me whether or not you're going to trade up. And let's say that Ed Oliver falls past Jacksonville at 7 to Detroit at 8. Is that the point where the Falcons and make a draft day trade and trade up to that 8 spot with Detroit to take Ed Oliver? But the answer to that is yes, if you value those guys with that kind of a spread on them, but we don't know.
We don't know. And you know what? If I'm not mistaken, I think it was on Andy Bunker's show. Bunky Pants was talking about the money. Like, we know that Grady Jarrett has signed his tender. We know that there's going to be some money that is going to be owed to Julio. And then you look at all these draft picks that you have to have. Somebody has to get a deal done before the season starts, or they're not going to have enough money to pay everybody. I think I did hit on Andy Bunker's show. Shout out to Andy Bunker. That's something that you also have to look at, because you're talking about, like, when you talk about spreading out all this draft money for all these picks that you have and then trying to sign Grady Jarrett, you're going to have to get some deals done before the season starts. So with that being said, John, do not, at this point, since we're moving closer to the draft and listening to what Coach Quinn said about the offensive linemen, don't say it doesn't feel as far-fetched getting the offensive linemen in the first round as it did yesterday. And I tell you why. It's because if you're talking about trying to sign guys that are going to play now, you're going to training camp, follow me now, you're going to training camp, and say, for instance, the guy that you're getting, say this offensive world-beater offensive lineman, is head and shoulders better than anything else that you have. You cut your losses. Because you got to think, you're still in training camp auditioning for a job. Just because you're signed to be here and work, you still have to win a job. And if they get a guy that is out there and he is just handling his business at the guard spot, I'm just saying a guard because that's the position that a lot of people feel that we need. If he's out there and he's head and shoulders better than everybody else, you cut the other guy, sign the guard, that your 5-year player that you have control of for 5 years, and you roll with that.
And that's possible.
Yeah.
Just tell me he's a day one starter. Tell me he's going to have an impact on this team. That's all.
Yeah.
Tell me he's a day one starter, and I'll go with you. And then, yes, you can go into the second round and get a defensive lineman or an edge rusher. That's, again, I'm not going to sit here and pound the table on Friday saying, I can't believe they took Dalton Risner. I can't believe they took an offensive guard or traded down and took, you know, whatever. I'm going to say, you have to prove to me that this is going to be a day one guy and impactful to this team right now, because we are in win now mode. And if Ed Oliver is gone and you don't like these other guys and you could get somebody on Friday that you really like, I'm fine with whatever they do as long as it's not a move for the future. The only future is right now. That's all I'm saying to you.
Exactly. Exactly. It's weird how, as we get closer to the draft, things start to change. And then you look at what the Raiders are doing and the fact that they sent everybody home, and now there's rumors that they're talking about moving up. Duh! Who didn't know? If you move up, guess what we all know? What's going to happen? You're going to go get a quarterback.
Well, not just a quarterback, one particular quarterback.
Yeah, and who didn't know that? Who wouldn't know that? Come on, man.
Got a piece of hardware sitting on his mantle.
You're about to fire them folks because you didn't like them.
We told you, a loaded show today. Atlanta United is prepping for a chance to try to get on the right side of things. Breck Shea's going to join us live. We're going to talk to Breck about what's going on within the team as they get ready to play Colorado Rapids on Saturday night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Breck will join us next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Prices and participation may vary. Keeping you up to date on Atlanta sports when it happens, I'm Tanitra Batiste from the Kia Studios on your home for Saturday's Atlanta United match versus Rapids, kickoff at 6. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Hit shot, score!
All Atlanta United are back in action
as they kick off season 3.
Catch every game here all season long.
Our MLS Cup champion Atlanta United play here.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It's time for the Hot Off the Presses Atlanta Soccer Report, presented by Georgia Natural Gas.
Morning show with John and Hugh. Atlanta United getting ready for the Colorado Rapids to come in on Saturday evening, 6 o'clock kick on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with Mike Conney and Jason Longshore. Mike Conney, been busy, man.
Busy, busy.
This is the Colorado Rapids are the worst team in Major League Soccer, okay? They don't have a win yet. Well, of course, Atlanta United only has one, but The Colorado Rapids don't have a win, and they haven't been close in any of their games. And they've given up 23 goals in just six games so far this year. For as many times as Atlanta United has been close, if this goes like it should, Atlanta United should blow these guys out.
Yeah, but you never should assume anything, John. That's the thing. And I know I would assume that in this situation, since, you know, I'm an analyst, I can assume that you don't want to overlook anybody. Even though Colorado's as bad as they are, you don't want to overlook anybody. And your bottom line is this. You got to get a win this weekend. That's how you're looking at it. You just got to get a win.
Let's welcome in one of the newcomers to the team, Breck Shea, veteran, of course, been playing for quite a while now and is now part of Atlanta United, and joins us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Breck.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Breck, now I know you're just getting here, but being in the locker room and the season going the way that has been going for Atlanta United, it hasn't gone the way that they've anticipated. Do you feel a little bit of frustration amongst your teammates?
Yeah, anytime things don't go your way, frustration sets in. But I think it's one of the things. I mean, like I said, it's a new year, a new team, a new coaching staff. I think it'll just take a little bit to get things going. And once it gets going, I think it won't stop.
Breck Shea on the WadeFord.com hotline. Well, you understand around here, Breck, as you would imagine, that we're a little spoiled, right? I mean, 2 years already an MLS title, right?
Yeah, I mean, 2 years, you've done more than most MLS teams done their entire existence.
So, you know, when we look at this, we kind of asking ourselves, you know, why is it there been so much trouble connecting here with this team? Was it the number of games you had to play so early and the lack of training? Was it, you know, the new guys coming in and trying to find their footing, you and Pitty and other additions to this? Is what's been the key here, or is it just bad, dumb luck?
Anytime a team wins, the next year they struggle in the beginning. I don't know if it's a curse or just going through such a long season the year before and putting out so much. And obviously the early games takes a toll. That's hard to come in off such a short off season and then put so many games when other teams are putting very few, and then you're playing all over the country in different countries, and Wednesday, Saturday back to back can take a toll early on.
You know, Breck, you're a young guy. You've been around MLS a lot, though. How has it changed from your beginning until now?
I mean, when this is my 11th year, I believe, and just to see Atlanta, for example, that to have a stadium that sells out at 70-some thousand is incredible. I mean, I would have never imagined that my first showing in the league, and seeing that, just how much it's grown throughout the U.S. is amazing.
Breck Shea, of course, joining Atlanta United. He's on with John and Hugh as we get ready for Atlanta United and the Colorado Rapids, a 6 o'clock kick on Saturday. Breck, there's been a disturbing trend among Atlanta United, among the Five Stripes games this year, and that's the early goal that you've been conceding. How much of an emphasis has that been to stop this kind of early first 5 or 10 minute mistake that puts you in kind of a bad spot?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you give up a goal early, it's not good. So it's one thing we're working on, and it puts you in a bad spot the rest of the game. So it's something we need to stop and not allow to happen anymore.
As you look at this game Saturday, here comes Colorado. They've struggled defensively. Do you tell me just in looking at this game, you know, aside from the fact that obviously you guys need to score and win, they're going to try everything they can. Mike Conley's of the belief that they could put like 10 guys back, you know, in the box and just pack their back line because their defense has struggled so much, and they're going to be playing on turf against you guys. Is this something you're anticipating? And if you're anticipating that they're going to go full defensive mode and try and park the bus, how do you attack that?
That's something hard. If a team does that, it's hard. We're going to have to somehow draw them out and play through them and get around them, or somehow take advantage of set pieces and win second balls and get a lot of shots off.
When you look at Colorado, who is one of the players on their squad that you have to look at and say, you know what, I got to be leery of this guy. I got to make sure that he doesn't have a great game.
I would say Kai Kamara. I played with him last year. He's been in the league a long time. He's unbelievable on set pieces. So a team like Colorado come here is going to play for set pieces to try, and that's going to be one of their main threats against us. So, and that when they have Kai Kamara, who's unbelievable in the air, all corner kicks and set pieces, something we have to watch out for and know and be ready for that.
All All right, so Breck, tell me, as a five-star fan that I am, we keep hearing about the breakout. Is that happening this Saturday? Is this the breakout?
I hope so. I think we're going to do everything we can to make that happen.
Breck, we're looking forward to it. 6 o'clock kick at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
Thanks for having me.
Breck Shea on the waitfor.com hotline. I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, you know, if Colorado packs that back line, it's going to be tough for Atlanta United to kind of break through that, and there seems to be some thought that that's the only option that they have. Again, this is the worst team. We're talking about the Rapids. No wins. They've allowed 23 goals, or almost 4 goals a game, 23 goals in 6 games. And you get a sense, Hugh, and this is the one thing that's kind of holding us all together. Despite the fact that Atlanta United is still at the bottom of the table in the East, despite the fact they've only scored 5 goals in 6 games and only have 1 win, you get a sense that it's going to start to fall for them. And when it starts to fall, it's going to fall in bunches.
Yeah. And that's the hope that we have here. It's just unfortunate that you look at the match that they had last week, you know, first time they lost at home in a long time, and the way that they've been playing, you know, the expectations are through the roof. No question for this team. And to see them struggle the way that they're struggling, see that the Pity Martinez and Joseph Martinez haven't hooked up yet and made it happen, to see the different line changes that you have in there and not see that continuity, it's kind of tough to see. And that's what people want to see. They just want to see some good soccer, man. They want to have the same thing happen that happened last year. And right now, it's up in the air. It's up in the air. And it's a lot of speculation on whether or not that has to do with Frank DeBoer and the way that he's playing, or if this team is just, you know, suffering from that I was about to say Super Bowl slump, but MLS Champions Cup win. That slump. That's what you're kind of looking at right now, because, you know, coming off a championship and then trying to come back and do the same thing, that's a hard thing to do. And I think it's a little bit of that, but they still have to figure out how to get it done.
It's Atlanta United and the Colorado Rapids. Saturday, 6 o'clock kick. Our pregame coverage begins at 5:30. Mike Connie, Jason Longshore on the call, 6 o'clock on Saturday night.
Hot Off the Presses was brought to you by Georgia Natural Gas. Don't miss the Summer of Free Gas event. Sign up by May 19th and get 3 months of free gas from GNG at gng.com.
NFL draft is awaiting tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, first round. So we are 34 hours and 11 minutes away from the NFL draft. Very latest on the NFL draft, 9:20 this morning, Dave T. Thomas. If you've never heard Dave T., he's a character. He's fun, and he's an NFL draft expert. We'll ask him about the very latest. Plus, as we get to the headlines at the top of the hour, what Hugh has to say about what happened to his quarterback. Oh, yeah, we got the audio. We're going to play it for you next. With John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.